You have back issues if somebody wanted those?
Yes. We give the back issues out at $4 a piece, or the entire series, which at this point is $100, because we are in our fifth year. Many people like to keep the whole business in a folder so they can think and relate back and forth. That's what we're about, the think and relate of what we're talking about, of course.
Let me give that address again in case I would hope you're interested. It's 448 Rabbit Skin Road, Waynesville, North Carolina, 28786. And, of course, we have all of that on record for you here at Broadcast Information at KUBC.
You might be interested, Bill, in knowing that we have managed to put pure water from gravity feed from springs onto the Star House property.
You know, we have devised a way here.
That's wonderful.
To take swamp water, you know, just slime water.
Uh-huh.
And convert that into absolutely crystal clear water in 2 hours.
Wonderful.
All passively, it's done with what we call a D-cell. I'll have to tell you more about that.
I'd like to hear about that.
That does work. You only get D-cell water at my house. It's scalar pulsed. I don't want to get into that.
I don't want to knock anything that the Ashtar Command is saying, but if I were you, I would plan to take care of myself.
Yeah. You know, he mentions one thing also at the end of the book about if the Earth were to engage in full-scale nuclear war, that under universal law and intergalactic allied agreement, we would not be permitted to do this, and we would no longer remain in control of our planet, that they would have the right to intervene at that time.
You may be very happy to know, because I was, that in all the years that we are in contact with the Ogata group, the word nuclear war has never come up.
Oh, great.
We are talking about man's inhumanity to man, it's true, and nature's plan. But the term nuclear war has never come up. And therefore, it's not in my scenario or in my everyday consciousness.
Well, I just add something else to that, Beverly.
Yeah.
The Soviet Union and the United States, I don't think, will ever engage in nuclear war.
Yeah.
Because they have more efficient ways to do it that are far more awesome.
Oh,
and so
that's
why
true.
Should they play with bows and arrows whenever they could really do the job well?
The problem is, you see, that we put our nuclear waste on fault lines. Now that's plain dumb.
Well, here in the United States, we're about to put it in our food.
Yes, that's it. So I'm not.
Have you read about that House bill?
I'm worried about the Love Canal effect.
Yeah. Well, have you read about the House bill where we're going to irradiate all our food with nuclear waste? You know. I think that's marvelous.
Yeah.
So we're all going to be the recipients of nuclear waste, thanks to the Congress of the United States.
But I do think there is a better tomorrow.
I hope so. Yeah. Okay,
well,
Beverly, is that it?
That's all I have, and God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have Stuart on the line. Hello, Stuart.
Hello, Bill. A terrific program, and I'm taping it.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask your guest if she has ever used her physical psychic energy for the purpose of healing. I know that she could do it.
Well, I spend about 80% of my time on healing.
Good.
This is something that I love to do. If I wanted to be a doctor, I would have gone to medical school. I am not one. But I certainly am thrilled that I have the ability, as you do, to heal, and maybe I've just been at it a little longer than most, so maybe my success ratio is a little higher. The answer is a very firm yes, and we've seen our, quote, miracles here, and they are very exciting, and I really think that's what keeps me going. Thank you for asking that.
Yes, could you...
Sure, just being around Greta is healing, like it is being around you.
Could you describe one case?
Well, I'll let Dick describe one for you. I feel funny.
Oh. Well, about 2 weeks ago, a young lady in her early 40s was met at a plane by a chauffeur that we sent. She was taken off the plane in a wheelchair. She had a brace on her back and a brace on her leg. And the story that she told is that the neurologists were unable to do anything more for her, that her discs were out. There was a lump on her back. And the psychiatrist felt that she was no longer able to be helped, and she got to us through some supporters of the Star Foundation.
They'd kissed her off, in other words.
The medical profession had said they had done all that they could for her, and that was on Friday morning when the driver picked her up, and Sunday She walked to the plane carrying her own luggage and 2 weeks later flew to Paris and has changed her life. It was a most exciting metamorphosis. A new butterfly flew out, and it's what keeps us young.
Does the AMA know about you guys?
Well, as a matter of fact, we had three doctors here, one from California, to study for a weekend. That's, you know, like Bible on one foot. But they were here for the weekend. And I understand that your L.A. doctor has used all of the transfer of energy lessons that we gave her to be used with a comatose patient, and it's working. And I just think that's wonderful. Would you like to hear about a healing through the Ogata group?
Yes.
We call them leaf healings, or plant healings. And it's interesting to note that the one plant they have consistently used was the rhododendron. Maybe that's why we just planted 10,000 around the property.
Maybe that's the reason I have about 20 around
here. Right. They select a leaf from the rhododendron plant, and then they put it right on the injured part or organ of the person. Participant's hand, the patient's hand, is then placed over the leaf. And sometimes they feel hot and sometimes they feel cold and many times they feel nothing. But one thing is certain, when the Ogata group do this, when the person lifts their hand away, all that's left of the leaf is the skeleton. All the green leafy part is gone. And so are the pains, or the injury, or the malady. And many have witnessed this kind of leaf healing, including, by the way, Dr. Guharich.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the technology is beyond me. I'm used there as a channel, strictly, not a healer. I am the channel. And we've conjectured and discussed the manner in which this rhododendron leaf participates in the process, and I'll tell you our conclusions, and they're non-technical. We think that the leaf they select emits a certain frequency that entrains, if you will, the discordant part of the body back to a healthy frequency. You know, if a body is diseased, it's at dis-ease.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in this proper selection, of course, of the leaf with the right frequencies that the secret to these leaf healings lie. That's also the answer given to herbal remedies, incidentally, to explain their effectiveness. So, you know, healing is just the restoring of harmony. Or a proper vibration to an ailing section of the body. And every part of the human frame, from an organ down to a cellular component, pulses a message at its own frequency. So when those messages are not properly received and acted upon, disease occurs. When it is acted upon, the dis-ease comes back into sync.
You know, I think that's very interesting, because one of the things, when you come to my house, I think since you were there, we have the spa in the backyard. And it is totally surrounded by rhododendron plants.
Well,
and it is so delightful out there. You can't come away except feeling great.
Incidentally, I never look upon healings as successes or failures. When somebody remembers or even thinks to say thank you after one, the genuine answer is no, thank you. Because, you see, we've shared something. There's been an interchange of energy here. It takes two to tango. And it's a wonderful thing. My greatest joy has been in the healings. And I'm happy to tell you that our ratio of success has been extraordinary. And isn't that wonderful?
Does that help you, Stuart?
Very much. Do you sometimes use the, what is called in the Bible, the laying on of hands technique?
Well, you know, that's just a term. Sometimes my hands stay above the body. Sometimes they're on the body. And heaven help us for the next caller, sometimes they slip into the body. I never pay too much attention to that, as long as the person who comes in ill leaves well.
I know it works, because I was healed of terminal cancer about 2.5 years ago.
Well, we've had many a cancer patient here, and God bless you. I think it's wonderful, and there's no question, when it's gone, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is. It had no right to exist in the first place.
That's correct. Good for you. You've got the right mentality.
Stuart.
Thank you. Yes.
Stuart, thank you for calling.
And yes,
Greta Stuart is one of the great aficionados of the music of Rosemary Brown.
Ah.
and he can play music from the other side like you've never heard in your life.
Let me tell you that one of our beautiful experiences, you speak about leaf healings from the Ogata group, are the music healings. When the little entity known as Balaka comes in, he plays the piano only, by the way, Stuart, on the black notes, the pentatonic scale.
Oh, yes.
And it's amazing what happens. We have a wonderful fellow from out there your way, Steve Halpern, who got a wonderful lesson from Balaka right in my home. And his music changed radically afterwards and became known as healing music. And the entire lesson was on the black notes. I might add that I don't play chopsticks. I can't play the piano. But as the channel, oh, my word, the music was glorious.
You could probably bend the piano.
That you have any on tape?
No, but I couldn't play it.
Is there any on tape?
If we had more Stuarts in the world, we wouldn't have these problems. But unfortunately, I don't think that all of mankind will change its
mentality. Stuart is a gentle soul. Totally concerned with this fellow man, and I love him dearly.
Thank you for calling.
And thank you,
Stuart.
Thank you.
I appreciate your call.
Stay well.
All right. I'll be back in just a moment. I'm Bill Jenkins.
Explain who the Ogatans are and where they're from.
Well, they're an extraterrestrial civilization, and if you want a location, they're in the M92 globular cluster. They have their own, they have a twin binary system, of which five planets orbit between them.
If you are into star fixes, it's 047. If you want to get the line into that globular cluster of M92.
Are you familiar with the astronomical relativity of our solar system?
No, I'm afraid not.
Well, let Greta give it to you rather quickly.
Oh, thanks, Dick. I think what he means is that... how important is it really is this little planet in the cosmic scheme of things?
Number two.
The numbers go something like this. The Earth, of course, represents less than a quarter of 1% of the planetary mass of the solar system. All right? The planetary mass is less than 1% of the solar system. And the sun comprises more than 99% of the system. And the sun, of course, is only one of 100 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy is only one of 100 billion galaxies in the universe. I mean, we're so tiny.
Does the Bible prediction of Armageddon fall into what they predict for this little planet?
Well,
I think you really have to look at that Bible prediction of Armageddon. We are not dealing with what the Bible said when we read the English translations. That tells us one thing to our way of thinking, but the writers of that, particularly John, had another thing in mind when you get down to the language in which they wrote that. John wrote it in Aramaic. And when you get into what he really said, whenever we get a skilled interpreter to look at it, and the interpreters, and bless their heart, they did a good job back in the 1611 when they put that out, we find a whole different picture being painted of what John had to say.
Living in the next town to us over here is one of the great humans and one of the great evangelists of our time, Billy Graham. And he talks about the second coming being about the turn of the century. And he talks about the second coming with a cataclysmic touch that mirrors the scenario as told by the Ogata group to Greta, but in a much more dire way. He has numbers on them that speak of a very cataclysmic entrance into the golden millennium of tomorrow.
Very interesting. Thank you very much.
All right, Z.
I must share with you something very cute, though, on Reverend Graham. Years ago, we were together at a meeting, and we were he was doing a prayer breakfast, and I was a lecturer. And off the record, he said to me, "You know, I have it easier than you." And I said, "Really? How do you figure that?" He said, "Ah, well, angels sell better than extraterrestrials."
But he knows better. All right.
He's a rare human.
With me is one of the great humans of our time, Greta Woodrue and Dick Smolo, both of them living together as they are in Waynesville, North Carolina, and staying up into the wee small hours back there just to share themselves. And can you give us a kind of a thumbnail sketch of what it is and how we can all become involved if we want to?
Well, people always ask this question, Bill, and the purpose, of course, of STAR and the facilities that we've built are constantly evolving, and they're very open-ended. I like to think of it as an insurance policy against the uncertain future. It's a bastion of security. It has a beautiful, if isolated, setting. We're prepared to take people in if we must, should a major catastrophe strike their area and they can get to us. And when we first started speaking out, it certainly didn't appear likely this would happen, but now everybody is conscious of the possibilities and the breakdowns and the logistics in cities and towns all over the country. And we have built underground storage to hold food for extended periods for large numbers. We certainly don't need it for ourselves. We have done all of this in our own home. We don't even know who the people are that we're preparing for. Could be you, anybody that's listening tonight. For others, STAR is just a place on our property to learn, either through seminars, the first of which is happening in April, or through the update, or just by coming to the very exciting STAR House and feeling the energy of the Cherokee Stone in this place that has so much quartz in the mountains.
You found a place with a lot of quartz crystals?
Oh, heavens, yes. We have the Cherokee, you see, very close to us, and the Cherokee Stone is very vital to what we're doing. And then we feel there are skills that are very important to learn as we approach these changes that we foresee. We're trying to get out information on survival techniques. We have already sent out one small booklet. You received it last year. We're putting together another. And some just come to share these high energies from the mountains. And they renew and regenerate and refresh, incidentally, in ways that many of their doctors told them was impossible. And they come ill and leave well. And that's always exciting to be a part of. But you have to remember now, the Ogata group made my purpose trumpeting the voice on this scenario, and it's through STAR that we do this. It is the focus of getting these messages out and reaching people. You know, you said I was hard to get a hold of. Be aware that you are the only person in the media, as it were, that I will go to. I've turned down 60-60, and that's incredible, and all these programs that are out to get you. On yours is an open forum of dialogue, and I feel it's well worth our time. I do want to say in
I'm very honored, Greta, thank you.
Of STAR, that all the monies that we receive through the updates or the books are used to reach more people, help more people, prepare more people, store more food, store more clothing, build facilities for what I think we will need. And those who come through, of course, and they do, work to advance all aspects of psi research and parasensory phenomena. Big problem, as you know, Bill, you're a big voice in this, is that there's no public backing, no government money given to psi research in this country worth discussing. Everything is privately funded, and Dick and I privately fund most of what STAR does.
Well, I think we're finding, Greta, that the great advances in science and paranormal, or all of this, is happening privately, and perhaps that's properly, because government has now become an inappropriate tool for scientific investigation simply because of its bureaucracy.
Well, I wish I could disagree with you, and I cannot. I'd like your audience, and they are always wonderful, to come away with one thing, and that's a very positive worldview despite the bureaucracy. I think survivors in general expect a positive outcome, and they look ahead to the future rather than becoming mired down in the day-to-day stress of their situation. And they are people who can share what they have and what they know with other people, and they gain from what others have and know. And they're not loners. They work for the common good. We try to do that in a think and relate way. Any information we have, we give out.
Is there a pillow for my head in 1986? Because I will be traveling.
Oh, STAR House, always.
I'll be traveling extensively in 1986.
And when I travel before 1988, Bill.
And we're going to do a lot of traveling in 1986 and 1987.
You know, my friend Bucky used to say, "Man is meant to survive," and we agree. We think human beings have been destined to survive, and that struggle to survive is really what people are very good at, or none of us would be here.
Let me get that address. 48 Rabbit Skin Road. I love that. I mean, a person just has to go to Rabbit Skin Road.
Isn't that wonderful?
Nice and warm and cuddly. In Waynesville, North Carolina, and I happen to know that that country is beautiful. I've been there. I haven't been to Star, but you will see me next
week.
I will be there.
Okay. Bill,
you can't keep me out of it. Yeah.
The philosopher Schopenhauer in the last century wrote something that's very applicable to what you're doing and what we're doing. He said there are three stages in the revelation of any truth. In the first, it is ridiculed. And in the second...
Boy, do I have that.
In the second, it's resisted.
Do I have that?
In the third, it's considered self-evident. I think we're in the first or second stage.
Well, we all know what the ridicule meant, and that doesn't matter.
Have you ever heard about the Jenkins man stories?
Maybe we ought to interview Bill Jenkins on this show.
Yeah, you should sometime. But if anything weird goes on here at the radio station, are my dear friends Ken and Bob, who do this tongue-in-cheek because they understand. But that comes from the desk of Jenkins man. No, they do it with a... Where's the echo thing? From Jenkins man.
You know, during that commercial break, when someone asked me about ways to rate yourself, may I respond to that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. There are ways you can rate yourself as far as survival attitude goes. Number one, a sense of purpose. Being able to ignore discomfort in the short run in order to gain benefit in the long run. Number two, rational thinking. I mean, survivors are planners. And they see a problem to be solved, and they go about it very logically. Number three, are you an unconventional thinker? Are you able to redefine a situation and see it differently? Number four, let's call it creativity. I think that resourceful thinkers can devise ways of using all kinds of equipment in very unusual fashions to accomplish what they want. Number five, a positive self-image. I think you have to feel confident that you can take care of yourself, that you like yourself. It's a key characteristic to surviving. Adaptability is one. Adaptable people can stand stress of the unpredictable, the unknown. It's the inflexible that have problems. And then, of course, that business called inner strength. And that trait is the persistence that lets you cope with stress and see humor in what's happening. I think you have to honestly assess your attitudes and your behaviors in crises. And you need the belief that you can change your behavior. And you've got to put yourself into situations where you can practice acting in a new way.
You just described Ronald Reagan.
Well, hopefully I'm describing a small piece of what we believe and what triggered us into making all the changes that we did. You see?
And those changes are being felt around the world, Greta, because
of your
work.
That's what makes it wonderful, Bill.
All right. We're going to take a little break.
All right.
And then Get Bulls will be here. Thomas Jacobson, Transmedium, and the effervescent and magnificent Dr. Peoples from the other side. 2 weeks from tonight, in his first open mind appearance, I am so delighted that Peter Hookus would be with us. And you're going to move into another world of psychic phenomena that you have not dreamed of. Our first week in January, a very uplifting evening with a very uplifting young man, Desi Arnaz Jr., will be along with Guy Finley, and we'll be talking about metaphysics and all of the wonderful things that's in store for you. And then I'm off to Fiji for a long while. And then we'll be back with you with Rashiel Field. We're going to have a great night there. We'll be talking about the ley lines and everything else that he is into. So Dale Walker will be here. We'll be getting into crystals. So we have a lot of things planned for you. So you just stay with. Right now, Greta Woodrue is with us, Dick Smolo, and we're talking to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. I have to tell you, Greta, when you started to describe your Star Foundation and you went into a physical description of it and you mentioned a Cherokee quartz on your property, I had to laugh, and I swear this is true, because as you said that, I'm sitting here with rose quartz and amethyst stones in one hand, and I am half Cherokee Indian. And it was just such a wonderful coincidence.
Well, you know what they say about coincidences.
Yes.
They're visible traces of untraceable principles.
I just thought it was wonderful.
It is.
I'm going to write that down.
That's Wolfgang Pauli.
Yes.
Greta, I wanted to know, have you received any information concerning specific land areas in the United States which could be more conducive for survival than others. I know that no areas or nor no peoples will remain untouched, but are there some areas
you
that...
You know, if there was just one, it would be a very crowded place.
Well, yes, I know that there should be many, but, for example, North Carolina's compared to L.A.
Well, she certainly likes North Carolina, Rabbit Skin Road.
Should we move there?
Well, one of the things that Rabbit Skin Road offers us is a location 3,000 feet above sea level.
Yes.
And 450 miles from the nearest ocean.
Okay.
But only 40 miles from an airport.
Oh, that's a great location.
Just a little helicopter jump.
We're remote on our mountaintop with only 1.2 miles from an interstate. So we thought it out rather clearly before we ever made this move.
But you know, and I know, it was the Cherokee Quartz that did it.
That's it, Bill. Wonderful stone.
All right, thank you.
All right, yeah. Stephanie. And hang on to those crystals because they're just magnificent, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, right.
Bye-bye.
You see, she was one of the sensitives. We're all sensitive. She is becoming more sensitive to the frequencies and radiations of her crystals. But there are radiations that bombard us from all directions, from all people and from all things. And, you know, I like to tell everybody listening, you are sensitive. You all operate with more than just five senses. It's just a matter of understanding.
I think we know about 32 of those senses.
Right, certainly.
That are already being dealt with. Ray will be dealing with that, Ray Bream, with the Soviet look at psychology. They're working with 32 different perceptive senses.
Every time you walk into a room, you're bombarded with the people in it. Some exhaust you. You don't know why. Others accelerate you. And you don't recognize it. But we're sensitive.
We certainly are.
We pick up what's all around us.
We have Gloria on the line. Hi, Gloria.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Ray. I was calling to... about the young fellow that wanted concrete evidence of teleportation and things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a psychic, and I do a lot of work coming to Greta, and I've been doing it for 35 years. And I was given from Astacia the entire mechanical pattern of flying the spaceship, how they maneuver, and NASA has it. I have no money for it, but they have it, okay? But when I received this, I didn't, you know, come so fast. He can corroborate, so I'm sure. It comes so fast that I could barely write it down. And so then there was a lot in here about the lasers. So I called the laser company, and I got this bill on the line, and nothing is by accident. You know, I could have gotten anybody in that company on the line to give me some information, right? This man, after I talked to him, I said, you know, I got this, I'm a psychic, tell me a little bit about this. I know Tiny Bit would think it'd fill me in, but he did. So I gave him the speed at which these things fly. We can't duplicate the speed yet, okay? And when I gave him the speed, he jumped off his feet, and the other end of the line, and he was yelling and hollering. And so he finally came back to the phone, and I said, well, what happened? What did I give you? And he said, you don't know this, but I have been working on teleportation for most of my life. And only God and my wife and I know about it. And he said, I don't even want money for it. He said, I'm just going to donate it to humanity. And he said, the speed you just gave me is the key. I couldn't move. I was stuck. This is the key. And he said, now I can complete it.
What's the speed?
I can't tell you.
Oh, okay.
It's not in the air.
So what is the point? What question do you have for
God? The fellow, you know, said he wanted proof. The young fellow that called in earlier. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, psychics can't give proof for all their things, but it's there. And we can't prove it, like, materially always. But it's there. We know it happened. And we know it's real. And there are people, and this one person especially, who has teleportation. He has it completed now. It's top secret, and he's working on it. And things that we don't know about.
Well, it's called bending the time-space continuum, and that's a rather easy thing to do now.
Well, but he has it where, you know, yeah. He says, well, you can go from L.A. to New York, and you can go plane, go instantly.
In a microsecond, yes.
Yes, and so I just wanted to call and tell that young guy that there is someone working on it, but you can't go public. You can't go to the press because they scoff at you, like the psychic. If we go to the press with anything, they laugh you right down to your shoes, and yet it is the psychic.
Well, we've got to understand something quickly, Gloria, about the press. They are not the great mental giants of our time.
No, and they do more damage because we could have so many things out in the open, but they damage it by debunking.
A shooting in East Los Angeles is much more important.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
Gloria, thank you very much for that input.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And we have Al on the line. Hi, Al. Hello?
Talking about the rhododendron. And
yes.
It's fascinating. Can anybody do that, or is it some special ability you have?
Al, it's not an ability that we have. Greta is used as a channel. It's really in the selection of the proper leaf of the plant relative to the part of the ailing body. It's our conjecture, although we haven't unlocked it, we've worked with some physicists, that the shrubs and plants work in a pentatonic way, five levels of vibrations, and that it's in the proper selection of the frequency to entrain the ailing part back to its normal frequency that